The Siyata Deshmaya, what I'm going to do tonight, is a little different than what I normally do during the Musar slot. A couple weeks ago, I spoke about the following topic that received a lot of feedback. Not as much feedback as whether it's appropriate for an Orthodox person to play professional baseball. But still, there were a lot of very legitimate questions that were asked. In one sentence, if you didn't hear what we spoke about a couple of weeks ago, in one sentence we spoke about whether choosing whether to wear tcheles should be a personal halachic decision, and we were very firm that it's a decision that's not personal and should be something that's part of the Masorah. And there were a few important and very legitimate questions that were asked that I didn't address. And so I feel tonight that it's important for me to do it. I think it's about six or seven questions that I jotted down that the Talmidim HaYikarim asked me, both in person and as well many virtually. And if we get through them in a decent amount of time, and if there are any follow-up questions for those who want to ask me now, the Mashgiach will tell me when I should stop. Okay. First question was, are you saying that Judaism believes in following blindly? Are you saying that your Masorah says something, and therefore you have to follow it blindly? I'll say it even sharper. Was I encouraging something that chas v'chalila could be called papal infallibility? There's another religion, the religion of Avodah Zarah, that says that the Pope can't be wrong. So am I saying that a Rav can't be wrong? Chas v'chalila, a Rav can be wrong. Most definitely can be wrong. In fact, there are parshiyos in the Torah about it. The halacha is that if a Nasi makes a mistake, the Chevra and Shana Bet last year learned this in Harios, that there is a Nasi can make a mistake and it brings a carbon, a par helim dover shel tzibur. It's possible for a mistake to be made and the responsibility of the Nasi is to rectify his mistake. Not only that, if it's a clear mistake, what's called toya bidvar mishnah, is somewhat of a Rav paskins a shayla and he made a mistake. He's toya bidvar mishnah. Maseches Sanhedrin is full of it. There are a lot of complicated halachas in Hilchos Choshen Mishpat about a dayan that makes a mistake. So then in such a case, then the Rav has to rescind his decision. So chas v'chalila, were we in any way insinuating that there's an idea of infallibility over here, as I started out, we're not talking about a question of someone making a mistake. There are clearly two shitas that we're dealing with. And here you have the concept, possibly, along the lines of Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chaim. And when you're dealing with such a big issue, so then in such a case, the importance of having someone being machriya and listening to the hachra, when we're talking about a meta issue, that is something that's important. Second question was, aren't we encouraging carbon copies? Aren't we saying that everybody should follow their Rav? And we're removing individuality from Talmidim. How are you encouraging someone to follow Masorah on these issues as opposed to encouraging personal growth? So the answer is, of course, we're not talking about chas v'chalila stifling personal growth. There are many times that a Rebbe will encourage his Talmid to go in the way that he understands. So for example, there were instances where Meiri V'Rabbi Rav Nevensal said to me, "You decide." He said that to me. And in fact, we said the amazing story of Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik, when he was asked a question, and his mother told him that he asked to, that the psak that he had said was not what his father had said. And he ran down the stairs and he grabbed the shoal. And he said to the shoal, "I take it back." There were times that even in situations where people thought, or Soloveitchik felt strongly one way, when his Talmidim asked him a question and he told them to decide on their own. So there are going to be times that the Rebbe says, decide on your own. When I asked Rav Nevensal about Tcheles, he didn't say, decide on your own. In fact, he didn't even give me his position. It was very interesting. He usually doesn't answer this way. He said to me, Rav Eliashiv said, which meant that he was telling me that this is an instance where you should be listening to a broader broader Masorah. And more than that, we don't believe in making carbon copies. Lafuch. I remember that there was a Talmud in the yeshiva that tried to imitate one of his rabbeim in everything that he did, and he had a nervous breakdown. Hafuch. Rabbeim don't want to encourage carbon copies, but rather, what we do is we encourage each Talmud to grow based on the uniqueness of his neshama. Every single Talmud is different, and every Talmud in a Masorah is going to be different, and he's going to be unique. This issue of Tcheles is what I would call a meta issue. And that is an issue in which the Rabbanim have decided not to tell their Talmidim to come up with a personal approach, and then in such a case, so then a personal approach is not appropriate. Someone asked at first glance a very, very good question. He said, doesn't Rav Shechter himself disagree with you? He disagreed with his own Rebbe. What was he referring to, the Shoel? That if you take a look in the Yahrzeit Shiurim of Rav Soloveitchik talks about Tcheles, and he says that you can't have Tcheles today. So now it's a bomb kasha on me. Because it's a good kasha. It's not a kasha on Rav Shechter. At first glance, it's a kasha on me. Rav Shechter himself advocated wearing today's Tcheles. Yet his own Rebbe, and we were arguing that you have to follow the Masorah, his own Rebbe said not to wear Tcheles. But the Kasha is not a Kasha at all. And the reason why the question is not a question at all is Rav Shechter says that he's convinced that his Rebbe would hold today that you should. That Rav Soloveitchik was of the opinion in that milieu, what they knew at that time, you shouldn't wear Tcheles. Okay, so my Rebbe in Yerushalayim, Rav Nevensal, disagrees. So that's a machlokas. And then once again, you have Nahara, Nahara, Upashte, you have two different positions. Okay, so based on the above, another question. So what are you saying? According to your approach, critical thinking is wrong until the Rebbe tells you to think critically. Is that correct? That we're supposed to follow blindly until the Rebbe says, think! Then you're supposed to think. And up until that point, you're not supposed to think. Is that what you're saying? No, that's not at all what I'm saying. And I'll explain what we're saying with a beautiful, beautiful yisod from Meiri V'Rabbi Rav Nevensal that actually brings out what true critical thinking is about and what I'm choshesh that sometimes over here is not really true critical thinking. Rav Nevensal in Sefer Bamidbar on page Pei Beis quotes the Gemara by Rabbi Elazar ben Harkinis, a very striking Gemara. Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus lo amar davar shelo shama mipi rabbi. Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus only said over the things that he heard from his Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. That's what he said. Only the things that he heard from Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz Zatzal already asked that there's another Maimer Chazal that seems to be not that way. In Avos Rabbi Nasan, Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus says that he's going to say something shelo shamatem oizem oilam, something that you never heard before. So is Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus this Talmud that only repeats what his Rebbe says? Or he said things that were never heard before? So Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz gave a beautiful, beautiful teretz. Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz's answer was that Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus said new things, but he had so internalized Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai that all of his new things that he had said were the things that his Rebbe would have said. And Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz claimed that a true Talmud is not someone who repeats what his Rebbe says, but he becomes such a part of his Rebbe that you could ask him and have a sense that this is what the Rebbe would have said. That's how Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz answered the question. So of course we're into critical thinking. We're into critical thinking to the point that the Rebbe teaches the Talmud to think critically, to the point that the Talmud would come to the same conclusion as the Rebbe, not because that's what the Rebbe said, but that the Rebbe taught him how to think and how to process. That was Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz's answer. Rav Nevensal quotes this answer fondly, and then he gives another answer. And this is Yafa L'Misha Omro, and I think it's something that needs to be thought about very, very deeply. Rav Nevensal said, I have another teretz, after my Rebbe's teretz. He learned by Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz. After my Rebbe's teretz, and he says, I hope, he said that this is what my Rebbe also would have said. This is how he also would have thought. Rav Nevensal says that he did disagree. Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus did disagree with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, but he always disagreed with him in front of him. He fought like a lion with his Rebbe when he was in front of his Rebbe. But once his Rebbe was machria, then he was mevatel himself. So in front of his Rebbe, he would say things, shelo shamatim ozem miolam. And not only that, he would disagree. But once his Rebbe was machria, then shelo b'fanav, then he would always say over what his Rebbe had said. Now, Rabosai, we live in a generation which is hypocritical, which is the exact opposite of Rav Nevinzal's Mahus. Rav Nevinzal, you know how Rav Shach nicknamed Rav Nevinzal when he was in Ashir? Rav Shach Zatzal called Rav Nevinzal the kategor, the prosecutor. Rav Nevinzal used to jump up and challenge Rav Shach all the time in his face. And most of the people just bowed down, Das Torah, Das Torah. Rav Nevinzal was the one who fought with his Rabbeim in front of them. But the moment in which their Rabbeim were machria, then they were mevatel themselves. A more cowardly approach is to make believe you're listening to the Rebbe, and then when the Rebbe turns his back, is then to disagree. So of course, we're into fostering critical thinking. And a Talmud should fight and try to ask and challenge and so on. But if the Rebbe is machria differently, so then in such a case, it's a totally different story. Next question. What if I don't have a Masorah? So then what am I supposed to do? If there are meta issues, there are meta issues that are not up to us to decide. So what if I don't have a Masorah? So I have only one answer for you, Reb Osai. And it's, I believe, particularly in this generation, the only answer. And that is get a Masorah. That's the only answer to the question. You're so lucky. I'll talk first to the Talmidim and Torah Shraga. You're able, if you're in Shana Aleph and if you're in Rav Reichman's Shir, you are able to learn by a Rebbe who's going to tell you what his father heard from Rav Soloveitchik, who is a Talmud from Reb Chaim, who could trace the directly back to the Vilna Gaon, who was one of the Malachim, Kel Hashem Tzivakos. You have the opportunity to become part of a Mesorah of Yeshivas Volozhin. This yeshiva, Torah Shraga, is a Mesorah of Yeshivas Volozhin. And other beautiful things. If you're a Rav David Shir, he'll bring you alive. He'll bring you back to all the drama in Rav Soloveitchik's Shir. All back to the Mesorah of Yeshivas Volozhin. Rav Miller, who was Meshamesh Rav Lichtenstein, you couldn't be Meshamesh Rav Lichtenstein in the standard sense, but he was Meshamesh Rav Lichtenstein for 30 years here in the Kollel. He sat by Rav Soloveitchik's Shir. We have an opportunity to be a part of the Mesorah. And people traded in. They traded in for a little bit of gaiva because they can't, at times, be mevatel themselves to their Rebbe. Now, there are times that you go to the Rebbe again and the Rebbe will say, you decide on your own. Matov manoim. Matov manoim. But there's sometimes the Rebbe won't. And the Rebbe will say, maybe at this stage of your life, you shouldn't be deciding it on your own. So Rabotzai, you have two opportunities here. One is awful, and the other is fantastic. One is to try to be entirely independent, and the other option is to be a critical thinker, but be a critical thinker that ultimately is connected to a Masorah. Finally, a question was asked, are you saying that you should be part of one Masorah and not learn from any other Masorah? Chas v'chalila. When a person is part of a Masorah, so then of course, Klal Yisrael is rich. The Arizal describes that the Yud Beis Shevatim represent Yud Beis Kivunim in Avodas Hashem. I am what someone once called me, Ashkenazi Tahor. I'm a pure Ashkenazi from the beginning to the end. But I once went to Rabbi David Abu Chatzera, and I gained tremendously from it. There are tremendous things that a person could learn. Just because a person has a certain Masorah doesn't mean that he can't learn from another Masorah or be connected to a few Masorahs. And every once in a while, yes, it'll be a little bit of a conflict. This Masorah will say this thing, and this Masorah will say that. So then he asks his Rabbeim. And if you respect the Rebbe enough, and if the Rebbe is good enough, So then he won't be biased to his Masorah in a negative sense, but the Rebbe will give you objective advice. Yeah, maybe you should take a little bit from that Masorah. Maybe this is good in your Avodas Hashem. I'm tremendously inspired, even though my Rebbe feels strongly, I'm tremendously inspired by Moreno Rav Shechter's strength to be able to stand up and say he believes in his heart of hearts that this is Tcheles, and he's ra'ui to this Madrega, to be able to say that, go against, quote-unquote, all of, not all Chas Chedot, go against many Gedolei Torah, and to develop an opinion that he thought was correct. And I'm inspired by it. One can learn and appreciate, even in a Masorah that's different than your Masorah. The desire of some who follow those rabbeim to be mekayim the mitzvah b'shleimusa, how painful it is for those of us who have a Masorah that can't put on tchelis. It's painful. Painful. And whoever just focuses on those are wrong, and the fact that it's, that they see that there are others who have a Masorah that can be mekayim, and that they might be mekayim, and we can't, it's painful. That's tzipisa l'Yeshua. Finally, the last goal of all this, of course, the Yud Beis Shvatim are all Shvatim that are trying to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ba'achdus Yisrael. The goal of all of this is Shalom. I didn't chas v'chalila have in mind any particular person or any particular group when I was responding to what I've noticed is the zeitgeist of the times of people choosing halacha versus choosing a Masorah. In fact, Moiri v'Rabbi Rav Nemetzal was also did his best in this controversy to be Rodev Shalom. Rav Nemetzal used to, and when Rabbi Yamin was in Yeshiva HaKotel, Rav Nemetzal used to wear his tzitzis out. Nemetzal doesn't wear his tzitzis out anymore. He put his tzitzis in. So I said to him, Rebbe, why did you put your tzitzis in? He said, because there's a controversy about whether to wear tchelis or not. I said, but you feel strongly that you shouldn't wear tchelis. He said, yes. I said, then why did you put your tzitzis in? So, because there's a controversy about wearing tchelis. And we started going around in circle. And I realized that my Rebbe could feel very, very strongly about something, but at the same time, he wouldn't want chas v'chalila to be pogeya in the shleimus of Klal Yisrael. I think this topic was really important. These were the questions that were asked. There was somebody who was here afterwards who told me that he felt that in our yeshiva, in Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan, Masorah hasn't been spoken about enough, which to me shattered me, because that's what built me, learning by my Rabbeim in Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan for 12, 13 years, and being Mekabel, a beautiful, beautiful Masorah, that somehow in the last 15, 20 years that there is a weakening of it, or a perceived weakening of it. This topic was extremely important. I hope, b'siyata d'shmaya, I did my best in answering the questions. And of course, the goal of this is trying to set forth to Talmidim a way of looking at things, but not chas v'chalila to bogeya in anybody else.